Good morning. It's good to have all of you here this morning. We're thankful for being here today as we share the word of the Lord together today. Let's go back to the book of Judges. We began last week with a series that I'm working on, feigning but still fighting. We were talking about the times of weariness and the times when we feel that our strength is gone. Weariness is a part of all of our lives and learning how to deal with it. And so we were looking into the book of Judges and we were talking about a young man by the name of Gideon who was called in a time of Israel when Israel had fallen back on God because of discouragements and different things. And the weights of the world had called them to turn against God. And they were, as many chapters as you read there, you'll find it begins with they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So, well, let's go back to chapter 6. And I said last week I was laying some foundation for you. You got to understand now again that the book of Judges was a time when they were moving from the area of wandering to the area of the kings. They had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And in that time, you know the story, how they wandered for 40 years, and now they were coming to a place of coming together and standing together. But in that time, they had kind of got their eyes off of God and gotten discouraged, and we're all guilty sometimes of getting discouraged. And when we get discouraged, it's very careful. We've got to be very careful that we don't grow weary. Galatians says, be not weary in well-doing, which emphasizes to me that there are times when we're going to get weary. But when we get weary, we've got to be very careful that those are times that we don't give in and give up, as that song said, because we need to know that we've been called to make an impact. How many of you know that every one of you today have been called to make a difference in this world? How many of you know that? If you would, just raise your hand right now. You've been called to make a difference. You remember last week, we said we may not can make a difference in the whole world, but we can make a difference in our world, where we're living right now. I want you to begin to pray, and as we look around, there's several not here today. I don't know if I'm mixed up or there's different shifts, but you know, I don't know what shift I'm on this morning, but some days it's full, some days it's not. I reckon one first shift, second shift, I don't know. I'm confused, but anyhow, listen, if we get everybody here at one time, we had to bring the chairs out. Amen. But look around and see if somebody's not here. And ask the Lord to help you this week just to give him a phone call. Just a simple phone call. Hey, I noticed you weren't there, son. I just want to make sure everything's okay. Want you to know we miss you. You know, that means a lot, doesn't it? That means a lot. And that's our world. Where we're living in right now, God has called us to make a difference. Many of us don't believe that. And that's why God raised up a man by the name of Gideon. You're going to find there he didn't believe it either. So look at Judges chapter 6, and we began reading. In verse 1, it said, the children did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Midian. Midian was that rebellious group of people who was taking everything they got. Now, I don't want to revert to everything I said last week, but I do want you to get this background. It said in verse 2, and the hand of the Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them dens. Now, you remember what I said last week? God's people are royalty. We are somebody. We are heirs to the king. We are great people in the eyes of God. You say, well, I don't feel that great. Doesn't matter how you feel. God gave his only son. We celebrate communion every Sunday. You want to know why we do that? Because God gave his son for you and for me. And I must be a pretty important person. You must be a pretty important person. And God has put a lot of trust in us to take his word into the world. But here God's people are in caves, hiding from the Midianites. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you hiding from? What in your life is your biggest fear? What in your life do you feel like causes you to hold back from being everything you need to be? Do you remember when we were in school and the teacher would give a question? You knew the answer to the question. You knew exactly what you wouldn't say nothing. Everybody like that? You wouldn't say nothing. Because you didn't want to, maybe I would be wrong. But then they'd answer the question and it was just what you thought. Well, you know what the devil loves? To intimidate us. He loves to keep us bound up
and held back. And I believe that we serve a God that wants us to be all that we can be. Now, God didn't call me to be like you, and He didn't call you to be like me, but He did call me to be everything that I can be. And there is something that I can do in the kingdom of God to make a difference. It's not just preaching. It's not singing. It's not any of that. Some people say, well, I can't do it. It doesn't matter if you can do any of that or not. God made you royalty. Are you listening to me this morning? He made you special. And there's nobody like you. Nobody. And the reason God did that is because He entrusts you to make a difference in somebody's world. Now, every one of us have got a passion in us to do something. Something inside of you. Some are sewers, some are cookers, some are workers, some are geniuses, some are, you know, I just thought I'd throw the women in there and say the geniuses. I said, you know, some of us know everything, can do everything, but God made you like that so that you could take that and put energy behind it and change somebody's world. Do you believe that you can change somebody's world? Do you believe that you can make an impact? Well, let's look at Gideon. Now, I want to read a lot of stuff, but for time's sake, I can't. And it says here in verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. You remember last week? What was happening here is that God's people would prepare, build their crops, and get their fruit and their vegetables and everything right, ready to harvest. And the Midianites would come and steal it. They'd take everything that these people had worked for, and not only take what they had worked for, but they would destroy the crops so that God's people wouldn't be able to have anything left over. I believe that there is a force that's against every one of us not to be what God's called us to be. I believe that there are discouragements. I believe there's things that's brought upon us in this life to get us discouraged, to get us weary to the point that we just give up. But I want you to know that God has not called us to give up. God has called us to pursue and accomplish. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Now, I don't usually read a lot of scripture because you lose people's attention. But I want you to get this because it's important that I lay this foundation. God said, I brought you out of bondage. Let me say something right here. It's hard preaching in America today. It's hard preaching to you. It's hard preaching to American people today. You want to know why? Because we don't need nothing. Amen? We don't need nothing. I'm not in a bondage. Yet, every one of us have something in our life. What is a bondage? A bondage is a stronghold that is continually holding us back. So what we've done is, boy, I feel His anointing here today. What's going on is, the reason in America we don't need nothing is because we've settled for less. We've settled, when I need to be a 10, I've settled for a 5. And what I've done is I have built my world around a 5. And so that everything I see in my world now is normal, normalcy to me. I'm not a winner. I'm second place. I'm not the head. I'm the tail, but that's okay. I've accepted that. I don't believe God would allow me to preach this to people who don't need it, but evidently there's somebody here that's settled for less than what you really are. We go through the motions. Amen. We go through the motions and we accept the fact when God's called you to be a 10. Bondage is that thing, that stronghold in our life that forces us or tries to force us to accept second best. God has put a vision, a dream in every one of us. But the ones that make a difference are the ones who are not willing to accept defeat. Amen. I know we live in a world that's very confused. America is so confused when it comes to preaching of the word. We live in a world now where the churches, you know, churches on every street corner, preachers are preaching everything in the world. No wonder people are confused. And so we don't know if we're going or we're coming. Amen. We don't know whether to believe I can be healed or maybe I just need to accept like I am. How many of you know that confusion is not of God? Where does it come from? The enemy. But I don't know what to do no more. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what not to pray. I don't know how to look. All right, you don't know why? Because everybody, did not God say in the last days they would be strange doctrines? Didn't he tell us in the last days they'd be all these type winds that are blowing to get us off course? Didn't he say that? So what God says, you got to boil down to one thing, your relationship between you and God. God is not about religion, but he is about relationship. He's about you loving him. And it's not the will of God for every time you move forward, something to come and knock you back. And that's what was happening here. And so God sends a prophet to them and tells them, I didn't cause you to be in bondage. I delivered you. Did you know we live in a time now where, do you really believe? I want to ask this question. Stay with me a minute. Tell like you're sitting in my living room. We're around the coffee table right now. Do you believe that we serve a God that is able to do all things? Why is it so hard for us to believe sometimes for us? Amen. I can believe you to be healed and not even phase. But when it comes to me, I struggle with it. You want to know why? Because the enemy wants us to feel our inferiorities. He wants to feel our inadequacies. Well, I don't look as good as the other. Or I'm big, or I'm little, or I'm tall, I'm short. I've got all these things against me. And that's what the enemy wants you to focus on this morning. As we talk about making an impact in the world, our world, we've got to believe that God has called us to make an impact. And if I don't get anything across to you this morning, I want you to get this thing that you're going to get tired, you're going to get weary, but God has called you to make an impact in your world. Amen. Now, look at verse 9. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you. What's he saying there? I delivered you. You got the power. Do you know what people need today? People don't need a psychologist. People need Jesus. Now, I'm not against psychology. I believe part of my degree is in psychology. I understand psychology. I understand sociology. And we do need, there are God-called psychologists who really do help people in this world. But what I'm trying to tell you is the ultimate help is going to come from God Almighty. Amen? And when your brain feels like it's about to explode because you don't know what to do, there is one who knows what to do. Amen? He said, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you the land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of Amorites and in whom the land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. They don't believe who they are. And there came an angel of the Lord and said among them, which was Ophrah, and prepared unto Joash and his own Gideon threshed wheat by the wine presses and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now here's where I'm getting to. The people are in oppression and they're weary. I feel like I'm getting somewhere this morning. They're weary and they're oppressed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you this morning are weary? How many of you are tired? How many of you had ever fought for the victory, and when you get the victory, you're so tired from fighting that you can't really get the praise that you need to get for? Amen? It said in Gideon, look at verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. Have we ever been there? Well, if I'm supposed to be so powerful, I'm supposed to be so great, I'm supposed to be so anointed, why am I going through all this? Look what it said. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. He's telling Gideon this now. You, Gideon, are going to make a difference. And look at verse 15. And he said unto him, Oh, my Lord. Just like the Lord, when he says you, I want you to do it. Oh, my Lord. Have you lost your mind? Have you ever told the Lord that? Have you ever told God, has he lost his mind? You asking me to do this? You lost your mind. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Now, this is good right here. See, I have to dig through, you know, you got to dig through some stuff to get to the good stuff. So I've been digging this morning. I know y'all about half bored. But hang with me now. And I told the Lord, God, I don't like preaching like this because they get bored. Then he told me I bore him sometimes, so go ahead on. Amen. And he said unto him, O Lord, O my God, O my Lord. You calling me? Now here, he's getting ready. Now here's where we all are. He's getting ready to tell God how God's about to make a mistake. I know ain't none of y'all done that, but this is for somebody y'all talked to this week. This is for somebody else. Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Lord, we from the wrong side of the tracks. I can't make no difference. I mean, I'm the least. Look what it says. I am the least in my father's house. Now I want that to sink in right there. I'm the least in my father's house. This is Gideon telling God, God, you're making a mistake. Every time God calls you to do something, like I've asked you to pick the phone up this week, call somebody, I guarantee you a million things are going to come across your mind and you're going to be too busy to do it. Or when God tells you at 4 o'clock in the morning, get up and pray for somebody, God, do you realize what time it is? Can't we do this like at 9 or 10 in the morning? Amen. Thank God for one real person in here. Amen. I mean, God, I can't do this. I can't get up in front of nobody and say nothing. I can't do it. I got too much going on. And the Lord's trying to tell us we get busy doing stuff that don't matter. Amen. Y'all still love me? Amen. You got to let me get to heaven. I got that on you now. I got that on you. I got that. I got that. I got that. Amen. Verse 16 saying, The Lord said unto him, Surely. I love the word now. I love it. God's got to have a sense of humor. I mean, he said, Lord, now do you realize who you're talking to? We're the poorest in Manasseh. I mean, we ain't got nothing. Amen. Ain't's a Wayne County term. Amen. We ain't got nothing. And I'm the least. It's bad to have nothing, and you're the nothinger. You got more nothing than they got nothing. Amen. I mean, you on the bottom of nothing. That's bad. And the Lord's got, I can just see the Lord kind of holding back laughter here, and he says, And you know, we're reading in King James, so King James was a translation, and that's how they taught back then. I really wish I could have heard. Well, I got to go to Koine Greek, and I can read from Greek how he really said. But anyhow, and the Lord said unto him, Surely, I'm going to be with you. Son, calm down. I got a little grandbaby. She's 2 years old, and every time something gets up, just calm down. Amen. She has learned that. Amen. Just calm down. So the Lord is saying, Surely I will be with you. Not only am I going to be with you, but thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's powerful right there. One person can change the world. I've not even got to my sermon yet. The Lord has just really anointed this introduction because he really wants you to get the foundation. But do you realize we've lost? We live in a nation now. And the older I get, the more I realize this. Every one of us had heroes when we were coming up, didn't we? We had heroes. We had comic book heroes or whoever kind of heroes. But there was always one person in our life that we looked up to. But can I say this? We're living in a generation now, and our young people are really suffering. Our children are really suffering because there's no more heroes. Everybody wants to be like everybody. And I feel his anointing in there this morning, and I didn't intend to say all this, but I'm saying it because he's leading me to say it. But what we need in America today is men and women who would be willing to say, Lord, I'll make an impact. The problem is everybody's sort of like Gideon telling God all the reasons why we can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. You know what? I believe that you can make a difference anywhere you are when God opens that door. God has blessed me in the business world to rise the levels, and I thank him for the levels because he's the one who's put me in places. I have sat in around oval tables, and guess what? I thank God that even to this day, no matter who I'm with, they'll stop and they'll have prayer because they know that I'm going to pray. If we got to eat, I'm going to pray. And you know, and I'm going to tell you this. And you know why? I'm not saying that because I'm something great, because I'm like Gideon. I'm right there with him. But my God's been too good to me not to stand up and tell somebody how good he is. And when people's all around you telling you all their problems and all their troubles, that's our opportunity to say, hey, there's one who's able to help you. Amen? Now listen, we're all human and we give up and we get weary. I get discouraged. You get discouraged. But that's not a sign. Discouragement is a part of life. But giving up is not. I'm going to say that again. Discouragement is a part of life, but giving up is not. God never made us with the ability to give up. We give up on our own. God told Gideon, yes, Gideon, I'm calling you to make a difference. And look what he said. You won't do that by yourself. I will instruct you, I will guide you, and you will destroy. Now you got to understand the Midianites were powerful people. They were a powerful force. Because of them, families were going without. Because of them, men and women couldn't sit down and feed their children. There are powerful forces in this world that I am no match for, and you are no match for. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that? Now, I believe it's been handled in the wrong way. I don't believe that God, I believe this. I believe everything God does is decent and in order. I believe that. I don't believe it's God's will for me to go to my job and put a 10-pound Bible under my arm and walk around all day long while that man pays me to do a job. I believe God expects me to do my job. I believe he expects me not only to do my job, but do my job better than anybody else. God has placed me in ports of leadership, and some of the worst workers I've ever had is Christians. They're lazy. And they got all these excuses why they can't do this. You know, the Lord, let me tell you something. God expects us to give our workers 110%. Can I have an amen? You make an impact like that. You make a difference in somebody's life. When you, that's the reason I know that's the reason God has blessed me. Because I was the one who went in early and I was the one who left late. But let me tell you this. When you do everything you can do in yourself, when you do everything possible you can do in yourself, God will make a way for you to be an influence. Amen. Whatever job you do, I don't care how big or how small, but let me just tell you this, there are no small jobs. Everybody's important. I let all my staff know every one of you are important. Every one of you are important. Because it takes every one of you to do the job. We've got to take America back. We've got to quit letting somebody else take America back. And you want to know how we're going to take America back? We're going to take America back one person at the time. Amen. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was the devil. Amen. And for 3.5 years, he mentored them. They was cussers and liars and Peter was type. Can you imagine Jesus walking with Peter? Peter was the one with the temper. I know none of y'all got no temper. I know that. I realize that. But there are a few people in the world that have tempers. I know some people walk through the tulips on their tiptoes. Oh dear, yes. We've never had an argument. We've never had a problem. I can't relate to new people. Jesus had got a hold of me. I was just like Peter. Peter was the type. Now you got to understand, Peter was, he was an old fisherman, you know, and he just had a rough life. And Peter would cut you. Peter would cut you. But that's all he knew. He cut, you know, and one time Jesus was sitting there and Jesus was trying to be Jesus, you know. And Peter gets mad at the guy and cuts the man's ear off. I can see Jesus right now. Well, Jerry, that's a rough day. Jesus reaches down, picks the man's ear up, puts it back on. Sir, I really apologize for this. I apologize for this. Peter, calm down. He would just lose it. But you know what I love about Jesus? He didn't give up on Peter, did he? God didn't say, well, I want you to make an impact now, and I want every one of you to be perfect. Well, we'd all have to close the book and go home. Amen? But he did say, I won't give up on him. He worked with old Peter. Peter had a little cussing problem. Had a little problem. I ain't never going to deny you, Lord. He done cut people up and everything like that. But, Lord, I ain't never going to deny you. I'm number one. I am the man, God. When everybody else leaves you, I'm going to be right here. Peter, you don't know what to talk about. Yes, I do, Lord. But a chicken's going to crow about 3 times and prove that you don't have it. Y'all know the story. Aren't you one that was with? No, I don't know. He cussed the whole crowd out and left. Peter was the type. He had to cuss you. He was in it. He had to. You know, like some people pray for you, he had to cuss you. I mean, and when he got done cussing you, he'd leave. But you know what it was? Jesus was allowing him to get that old self out so that he could see that in what he wanted to be. God doesn't expect you to walk around like Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect because he knows we can't be. But I'll tell you this. When he gets a hold of your life, those things that you used to go crazy with, you don't want to do them no more. Amen? Because he works with you. He helps you. Peter was the one who stood on the day of Pentecost and birthed the New Testament church. That was a powerful job, wasn't it, Brother George? So what does that tell me? God's calling me to make a difference. And I can stand around and tell God all day long how I can't do it and how I just don't have the ability. And I hear God say, I'll help you. Now we're going to talk about, in the next week, we're going to go to Judges chapter 8. And we're going to begin to talk about his journey that he began to be on as far as making a difference. It's dealing with the Midianites. And God's going to teach him some very, very powerful lessons. But the Midianites had gained control. And it's not the will of God that the enemy control you. It is the will of God that God control you. And there's nothing that God can't do. You may know some families right now or some people or some friends or some co-workers that are really, really going through a hard time. God can change people. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We all, as people, give up on people sometimes, don't we? I'll be honest, I give up on people sometimes. But I'm so glad I serve a God who don't give up. And I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will. If I preached to you everything God's got in my heart, we'd be here tonight. We'd still be here tonight. But I want you to come back, call somebody this week, invite somebody to come, because I believe there's a lot of people out there who are weary, who are tired. But every one of them that's weary and tired, they got something in them that God wants to use. I want you to take the hand of the one beside of you, and we're going to make right where you are an altar this morning. And I don't feel led to call. Certainly, I want you to understand this altar is always open. Anytime you want to come and pray, you're certainly always welcome to come and pray. But right now, today, I just feel right where you are, and make where you are an altar. As your heads are bowed and everyone praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. This hour that you've given us, that we live in a time where men and women are tired. And Lord, there may be some tired ones here today. They try to do right. They try to live right. They try to do everything by the book. But still, they get tired. God, I pray today that you will encourage everyone here today under the sound of my voice to know that they've been called to make an impact. They've been called to make a difference. And when they begin to say, Lord, how in the world can I make a difference? I've got all these problems. Well, it's out of those problems that God's going to teach you some valuable lessons. And in turn, you can go to somebody else that's got problems and help them. God, I ask you today that you'll encourage this people, that you'll strengthen this people, and Lord, that they'll know that in you, God, all things are possible. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.